Well, congratulations. We are finally in summer. You made it. For those of you who are in school, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's summer break. For those of you who are parents, we pray God's blessing over you in this time. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, hey, summer's here. And what that means for so many of us is that it's a time of year when so many of us pack our bags, we jump in the car, and we take some kind of road trip. Maybe you and your family have plans to do that. Maybe it's just take a quick trip to the lake or to the beach or just to go down the street, whatever, to take some kind of summer road trip. And the thing that people always ask you when you're going on a road trip is what? Where are you going, right? Everybody wants to know, where are you going? And so, you know, you can tell them. They want to know about the destination. They want to know your landing spot. Where are you going to end up? But I want to tell you today, and I want to encourage you today, that the journey there, the road trip there, is actually sometimes just as important. So one of the things that came to mind with this road trip series is, for me, is I was thinking about, I'm the oldest of five kids. And so when my family, growing up, when we would take a road trip, we'd go to the beach and we would go to the mountains, it was crazy. Like, there were so many people in the car. There's so many things in the car. It was almost like, you know, one of these things where we were able to stuff a car more full than any car should ever be stuffed. Like, it was, if there was a fire marshal for a car, like, we would have, you know, broken the rules on it. But anyway, it was always packed with people, you know, seven people in a car. It was always, you know, packed with gadgets and gizmos aplenty and all that stuff. The Little Mermaid reference for you. But also, there were bags under our feet and over our head, and there was a lot of he's touching me and she bumped into me. And maybe if you have a family like that, you know what I'm talking about. But one summer really comes out that really sticks out to me, a road trip we took. We were going to Daytona Beach, and for some reason, God only knows why, My family decided that it was time to, instead of taking the dog to the vet, it was time to take our little princess dog with us, Pumpkin. And so we had this little cute dog. And so anyway, what we did is we took our very petite dog and we put her in her little small cage and we somehow stuffed her in this, you know, in this already crowded car. You have to know the dog was very hyperactive already. But stuffed her in a car for 8 hours on a trip with a whole lot of kids, and the dog was freaking out the whole time. And it was crazy. I mean, it was fun. It was annoying at times. And it was a trip we'll never forget. One thing I know for sure, we stopped for more bathroom breaks, more pit stops for the dog than we ever would have taken for any of us individually. So I'll never forget that trip. And you all have road trip stories as well that you can think about in your life, with your family, whatever. But today we're starting this series, Road Trip. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about really the journey that God wants to take us on this summer, the road trip, if you will, that God wants to take us on this summer in our life or to grow in our faith in some kind of way. Because for so many of us, when we think of the summer, we think, we're finally here. This is vacation time, and it's time for a break. And it is. Praise God. Thankful for the seasons. But I also believe that God has something even more important that he wants to do in your life and my life this summer. And I don't think God wants us to miss it. See, I believe that this summer is not just a time that we kick up our feet and we wait for something that's going to happen in the fall. But I think it's a time for us to really rest in God and to grow in God so that we can become the people even more that God's created us to be. It's kind of a get better season. How can we grow in our faith? How can we get better in certain areas of our life under God? And so that's what we're going to be talking about in this series. How to have more purpose in our life. How to live more intentionally. How to be used by God in an even greater way. My prayer is that this summer would be a summer that you would never forget. Not because of the road trip you go on in your family, but the road trip God takes you on. And the way he's going to grow you in this time. So we're going to be intentional about that. And so we're going to look at a story today from kind of the 30,000 foot view of the whole story of maybe the biggest road trip in the Bible of all time. And that is the road trip that happened with Moses and the Israelites. And if you know the story, Moses and the Israelites, you may remember God's people, they were trapped in slavery for over 400 years. They were living under an oppressive rule by an Egyptian pharaoh, forced to work really hard and work really long, and they were slaves. And God, a little bit before that, God had promised all the way back to Abraham that he was going to lead God's people into this promised land, into this land that he was going to give them that was flowing with milk and honey, when all of a sudden, the people of God found themselves stuck in slavery. Maybe you've been like that before. Like, this is God where I feel like you're calling me to be, and I find myself in some kind of exit, in some kind of slavery, in some kind of bondage. But God, in the middle of that, stepped in. And he freed the people from slavery in Egypt. And of course, it was a miraculous thing, parting the Red Sea. But it didn't end there. God took them on a road trip in the wilderness and all the way to the Promised Land. But before they got there, there was a lot of steps that they had to take to go from where they were in slavery to where God wanted them to be. So we're going to look at that a little bit today. And the message title is called Check Your Checklist. And so I want to group participation here. We're going on a road trip, so remind your neighbor, check your checklist. Tell them, check your checklist. Check your checklist. For some of you who are list takers, you're like, yeah, I've been telling you, you've got to check the checklist. How many of you are list takers when you go on a trip? How many of you are like that? Like, you got to make sure you got everything. All right, hands down. Now, how many of you are the free spirits? Like, let's get in the car and go, baby. That's how I am. I'm like, we don't need a plan, honey. Let's just go. Let's just go do something wild and free. Well, anyway, the people on the first camp are going to love this today because we're talking about a checklist. So, anyway, the thing that you need to know is before you go on any checklist, somebody in the car has to check the checklist before you go on any road trip. You don't want to leave anything behind. And so as we take this road trip with God and grow closer to him this summer, I think it's even more important because God doesn't want us to miss where he wants us to go, what he wants to show you, and how the ways that he wants to grow you in your life and in your faith. And so in your program, there's a sheet that's not attached. You can pull that out. It's a vanilla sheet. Go ahead and pull that out. This is your checklist for the summer road trip. And we're going to go through this today. It's a little bit different message. And I'm going to give you several things that are filled in the blanks, but you're going to also have a part as well. Where I don't know what some of the blanks are that God would put on your heart. And what we're going to do is I'm going to encourage us to kind of go on a road trip with God. And this week to pray over the things of like, where God are you calling me to go? How are you calling me to grow? We're going to kind of go through this. So if you'll play along and fill that in with us, I think it'll be really, really helpful. So I want you to work on that this week, and you can do some today. But I'm going to give you four key things for your checklist that all of us need to take in order to experience God's best this summer. So you ready? So the first thing we need to do is the very first thing that the Israelites had to do. Number one is this. You have to set your destination prayerfully. You have to set your destination prayerfully. Now, this could be a great business talk. Like, you got to know where you're going in order to get there. This is bigger than that. Because what I don't want you to do is just to jot something down, make something up, and say, all right, I want to lose weight this summer, or I want to clean the bedroom that's been trashed forever, you know, whatever it is. This is bigger than just make a New Year's resolution kind of thing. Because so many times what we do is we leave God out of the equation. And so what I want to encourage you to do, I don't know what that area of your life is that maybe is the destination for you this summer, but here's what I want to encourage you to do. To simply spend some time asking God, where do you want me to be in my life and in my faith at the end of the summer? That's kind of a hard thing to think about. Like, maybe there's an area of your life that's like, God, where do you want me to grow? Like, is there an area, is there a part of my life, is there just something that maybe to be used by you in a bigger way, or draw closer to you in a greater way, whatever it is, how do you want me to grow? Maybe there's an area of your life that you look and you say, God, is there an area that just needs to be more holy to you, that maybe needs to be more surrendered, where I trust in you a little bit more in this area of my life? Maybe is there an area, is there somewhere where you need to be more connected to God? Or maybe to reach out to certain people to be used by God. I don't know what that is, but I want to encourage you to pray through that and ask God, what do you want to do in my life this summer? What do you want to do through me this summer? Ask God, how can I grow? And so set a very specific destination. This is exactly what the King David did when he prayed this prayer in Psalm 139. He didn't just make something up. Here's what he did. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. It says this, "Search me," he said to God. "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive," or some translations say, "wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Now, when's the last time we prayed something like that? Search me, oh God. Sometimes we're like, I don't want you to search me because I already know what's in my life. I already know what's going on. I know my deficiencies and my failures and all these things. But his prayer was, God, search me. I know that you're loving. I know that you're holy. I know that you're good. And I know you want to do something in my life. And so, God, I'm asking you to search my heart and to search my life so that you can do something in it and take me from where I am to where you want me to be. This is the prayer that I think God wants us to pray. God, what do you want to do in my life? Show me, reveal to me. He's essentially saying, God, once you reveal it to me, don't just leave me there. I want to let you know one of the things that's so great, when God calls us to follow him, think about the disciples. When Jesus is calling out to the disciples, he says, come, follow me. He doesn't just say, okay, well, just as you are, we're just going to have a picnic here. We're just going to let you stay just as you are in your life. I'm so thankful that God loves us so much to never leave us where we are. That David's prayer was, don't just leave me here, but instead, lead me, God. Lead me in a way that leads to life. Show me what that area of my life is, and lead me where I need to be. So that's what I want to encourage you, to make that your prayer, so that you can set your destination prayerfully. You know, when we think about the road trip that Moses took with the Israelites, I have to let you know, they didn't know all the steps along the way. They didn't know if it was even possible. They were slaves. They're sitting there in slavery, standing and hoping in the promises of God that one day they'd receive the promised land, but it didn't look too optimistic when they were in chains, right? It didn't look too optimistic when they're building all these things in the hot sun all the time. But one thing that was for sure is that God set their destination very clearly. And he spoke it all the way to Moses. Here's what the destination was that God gave to Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. It says this, the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. He's saying this to Moses. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. Isn't that great to know that God's concerned? So, I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites and Jebusites, and for all of us, you know, it kind of sounds like the Wizard of Oz. The lions and tigers and bears, oh my. You know, this is the land where, like, all the you know, important people are, all the crazy enemies of God are. And so, this was the destination. And it was very, very clear. This is what God gave to Moses. And God wanted to move his people out of slavery in Egypt and into the promised land. And it was very specific. It was a very specific thing that they didn't know how they were going to get there. That's how God leads us so many times in our lives. We'll see where we are, and God will say, I want you to be here. Or, hey, I want to use you in this way. We might look at our life and say, God, there's a gap, and I don't know how in the world you're going to fit the pieces together and somehow, through your grace, get me there. But this is where they were. And I think it's really interesting that God set the destination kind of in two directions. God wanted to lead them in kind of both ways, out of something, slavery, and also into something greater. Out of something and into something greater. And I think it's interesting because they couldn't get into the promised land. They couldn't get there by just staying where they were. If they just stood where they were, they would never, ever, ever see the promises of God fulfilled. And in the same way, it's one of these things where it required them to get out. To get out of the comfortable place of where they were, to leave that place in slavery, so that they can experience God's best. And the truth is, it's the same journey that God wants to take us in our faith. To not just stand where we are, but to trust him and walk forward into what he has for us next. And so, it's one of those things where God will often call us, when you think about the journey of faith that God might want to take you on this summer, maybe you can think about, you know, is the ways that God might call you out of something, and maybe into other things. In fact, maybe it's one of those things where it's an old pattern or an old lifestyle or some kind of thing, and God will call you into a renewed pattern and lifestyle. Maybe God is calling you out of some kind of fear in a certain area and to have a whole lot of faith, from fear to faith. Maybe it's from not spending a whole lot of time with the Lord in his presence, abiding in him during the week, to all of a sudden, I'm always in the presence of God. I'm seeking him through scripture and prayer, whatever it is. Maybe it's like not even on your radar that, like, God wants to use you to invite people to follow him or to invite people to church. But all of a sudden, God moves you this summer to every single day. Your antennas are up and you're saying, God, how do you want to use me? And who can I help connect and show the love of Jesus to and maybe get the opportunity to share a little bit of my faith journey? Maybe even invite someone to the church. I don't know what that is, but I want to ask you this question and for you to ask God, what is the destination where God wants you to be? What's the destination? Set it with a lot of prayer. And I want to encourage you to set it to really make it really clear. So from this week all the way to the end of the summer, this is where I believe God is calling me to be. And so let me tell you a little bit. I'm not just telling you to do this yourself. I'm doing this myself. I'm going through the checklist. And so let me tell you a little bit about what I'm doing, and what I'm saying of a way that I feel like God is calling me to grow. And really the destination that God's placed on my heart for this summer is, as the pastor of this church, I believe that God has called me to pray bigger juggernaut prayers. But for something really specific, not to just pray big prayers and, you know, stuff like that. I don't think, by the way, God calls us to pray very general, windy prayers. Because God, how would we ever see God come through if we just pray, God, be with me? That's what I am, right? God wants us to pray specific, juggernaut prayers. But God, I think God is calling me to pray every single day, to really ask Him to reveal the place that will become the future home for the fountain. Pretty cool to think about, right? Like, I'm going to be praying every single day this summer for God, where is the place that you want the ministry to happen? I mean, we are so thankful to be in the school, but God has prompted my heart to say, like, I want you to be praying for this because I'm ready to do something. I want you to be praying for this. And the thing is, it's kind of like Him be praying over the land and the facility, whatever it is. But the truth is, we love being here at this school, don't we? I mean, we are so blessed to be at Dawn's Creek Elementary. We've been here for a little bit over 4 years, and the administration is amazing. But the school is running out of space. They told us things are changing next year, and they're trying to work out where we're going to be and where our kids are going to be. It's going to be great. It's going to be a good plan. But it's just a reminder that as we have continued to grow, the school is losing space. And I think it's a tap on the shoulder for God to say, hey, I don't want you to stay here forever. In fact, that's never been our goal as a church, to just stand here and stay here forever. Why? Because it's bigger than just a building. It's bigger than just a space. God has called us to have a 24/7 presence in this community. One of the things that we find all the time is there's a whole lot of ministry that happens. We're only here six hours a week, right? And there's a whole lot of ministry that happens, but there's a whole lot of ministry that's left undone, that's not able to happen because of not having that facility. Now, it's been a great season, but this is where God is tapping me on the shoulder and saying, I want you to start praying. I want you to start praying bold prayers, asking God, is this the place you want us to be? And so maybe you would join me in that journey this summer. I mean, we don't know. I mean, we're just going to be praying and say, God, I just pray you would reveal that to us. We don't know all the plan and everything of how we're going to get there, but God, we're praying that you would show us the destination. So I don't know what the destination is for you, but come up with a clear destination of growth in your life or growth in your faith. Here's number two, if you're following along. Number two is this: create a plan. Create a plan of how to get there. How to get there. If you want to go to California, first of all, you can't just set a destination. Someday, somewhere out there, I'm going to go to California. You'll never get there, right? You want to set a very clear destination. I'm going to go to San Francisco on July, whatever, right? Clear destination. But in order to get there, you've got to have a plan. You've got to buy a plane ticket, probably, unless you've got a lot of gas mileage you want to put on your car, right? You've got to get a hotel in order to get all this stuff. You've got to have a plan. And so here's what I want you to do on this spiritual journey with God. I want you to ask God, God, what are the steps you want me to take to get from where I am to where you want me to be this summer? What are the steps you're calling me to do? And some of them may be really obvious. It may be like, I got to get in the small group. It may be like, I've just got to get in the Bible a little bit more. It may be, I got to find a mentor. I don't know what that is, but you can fill in the blanks to what yours is. But create a plan with God's help. Here's why this is so important. And it's really because when God led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, the very next thing that happened, I want you to check it out in Exodus chapter 13. Verse 17 and 18. Here's what it says. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though it was shorter. Now let me just pause here. And you're going to get from one place to another, the shortest distance is a straight line, right? The Philistine country would have been essentially just go east, go from Egypt and go straight east, and you'll be in the promised land. Here's what it says instead. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Verse 18, it says, so God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt, ready for battle. That's so interesting because the Israelites, they knew the destination, they knew they were headed to the promised land, but God created a plan that was a little bit differently than what they might have suspected. For the engineering-minded people in here, it's like, that's not very efficient, God. You know, like, if we're going to go from here to here, let's just take I-75 to get where we need to go, right? But God, it says, God took them, another translation says, the roundabout way. Ever been the roundabout way to where God wanted to take you? I mean, this is what he's saying. God is, the reason God did this is because God isn't concerned most about being so efficient. What God is concerned about most is building up more faith in our lives. In other words, by nature, we tend to focus a lot on the place we're going, don't we? And we want to know, what do kids say on a road trip over and over and over every hour? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We want to be at the destination. We want to be at the place. We often focus also on our pace, on how fast we're going, or are we going too slow? But God is more focused on the process and what he's building up in his people. He's more focused on the process and what he's building up in us. See, God didn't want to just take them out of slavery and into the promised land, because God first wanted to do something in their lives. And the same is true for all of us. See, if the Israelites would have just gone straight into the promised land, they would have never truly learned to trust God. They would have never had the faith to conquer the people that were there and to take hold of the land. They weren't yet the people God needed them to be, to enter into the place he called them to be. And so here was their plan. Let me just share a little bit about their plan. They, as soon as they got out of slavery in Egypt, it's like, yes, we're here. Now what do we do? They found themselves in the wilderness, and the Israelites had absolutely no food. I mean, it was a desert. There was nothing around, and they're kind of probably elbowing each other and saying, did you not get the chips and salsa before we left? You know, there was nothing around. There was no way to provide for themselves on a long journey. And so, out of this completely parched land with nothing around, God miraculously delivered to them food, manna from heaven, and these quail just fell down, and they could eat it every single day. And God allowed them to strike a rock, and water came out of it. It was like, what in the world? Why did God take them on a journey like that? Why was that the plan? It's because God wanted to teach them first that he can provide. Then the next thing that happens, God sends them even farther south. Instead of going east, they went south to a place called Mount Sinai, where God delivered to the people the Ten Commandments and the law. And the reason God gave this to them is because these were a bunch of former ex-slaves, right? They were all these slaves. They didn't know, that nobody ever told them how to live with their newfound freedom. And so God gave them the law, and it was a blessing. God is trying to show them, like, this is the plan I have for you. This is the way that leads to life. But they didn't know. They didn't know who God was, really. They didn't know how they were to live. They didn't know what it even looked like to find life. And God said, this is the plan. This is the way I want you to live. And what a blessing. And the reason God took them on that journey was because he wanted to show them and to show us that God is our guide. And then in Exodus chapter 32, they kind of had a blip in the radar screen of what was happening. Kind of a speed bump along their journey. When the Israelites, they were kind of thinking, you know, Moses, you're taking too long getting the Ten Commandments, getting the law from God. And so all the Israelites are camped down at the bottom of the mountain, and they start getting, you know, antsy. Like, I guess we don't have a God around. And so, since they were tired and saying Moses is taking too long, they actually built a golden calf. And Aaron, Moses' brother, held the golden calf up and said, this is your God who led you out of slavery in Egypt. It's like, how quickly did they forget? And everybody started worshiping this golden calf as their God. And it's one of those things where it's almost like they were saying, like, we need a God who is always with us. And they didn't realize who God was, that he's always with them. They were saying, well, we need a God that we can place in a box who never is going to leave us, who never gets away. But at the same time, Moses is walking a very different path. It's like the movie is happening at the same time. Here's what happened with Moses and God on the mountain. Exodus 33, verse 13. It says this. Moses said, if you are pleased with me, talking to the Lord, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. And at the same time, God's knowing what's happening on the other side of the story. He said, this nation is your people. I'm not even their God, right? They're worshiping somebody else. The Lord replied to Moses, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Verse 15. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. See, they were dancing around about the presence of God, and God took them along this path in their journey in order to show them the most important thing, to seek His presence above anything else. And so the question I have for you today is, what are the specific steps? What's the plan that God would have you take to reach the destination in your life this summer? I've given you five lines. I want to encourage you to fill those out. Think about the steps that you can take. And it could be you read a leadership book, or it could be, you know, carve out some time to serve people, invite somebody to church, whatever it is, but fill that out. For me, I already told you the destination. I'm going to be praying for what God wants to do, to reveal our future home as a church. And so for me, the first thing I want to do is, first step has nothing to do with facility, has nothing to do with land. The first thing I'm going to do is I don't want to ever lose sight of who we are as a church. Because who we are as a church is we are called to lead people to life, hope, purpose, and wholeness through Jesus Christ. We don't want to ever lose sight of that. And so I remember the first step for me is, have you ever heard of prayer walking before? Anybody heard of that? That's kind of where you walk around and you know, as you see things, you don't have to like pray out loud, raise your hands and be weird. But you just, you know, you see somebody going through something on a bench in the park and you just pray for them just where you are as you're walking. Or you see somebody in a car, you drive through an area, or you go through the drive-through, whatever it is, and you start praying for those people and praying for what God puts on your heart. It's awesome. Well, I'm not going to pray or walk through the community. It's a long way. But I'm going to pray or drive through the community. I could use the exercise, but I'm going to pray or drive through the community this summer. And I'm going to be looking at all the rooftops that Mandy and I looked at when we first were sent here with two people to start a church, and here we are today. Looking at all the rooftops that God has called us to reach. And I'm going to be praying, God, I know that there are so many people here who don't have a relationship with you. So many people here who are not yet connected to a local church. I pray that you would give us an opportunity to connect these people. That's what I'm going to be praying for, number one. The second thing I'm going to pray for, it actually is a little bit about facility, and that's I'm going to go to certain parking lots. I'm going to go to certain plots of land. I'm going to go to certain facilities, and I'm going to maybe lift up my hand and maybe pull out a chair and sit there for a while, and I'm going to just say, God, is this the place? Is this the place that you want us to be? And it may be like, you don't hear anything, whatever, move on. Is this the place? And I don't know how that's going to work out, but I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek God. That's some of the steps that I'm going to do. So what are the steps you're going to take to reach the destination where God wants you to be and how God wants you to grow this summer? I want you to fill that out for yourself. Here's the third thing, if you're taking notes, 3 and 4, way quick, so you don't have to be like, oh my goodness. All right. Number 3 is this. Don't travel alone. Don't travel alone. You know, one of the things we say here a lot at the Fountain is you can't do life alone. Can't do life alone. And the truth is, you think about a road trip, it's kind of boring to travel by yourself, isn't it? I mean, like, I used to do that, like, burning rubber to get to my wife when I was in Kentucky and she was in Suwannee, and I got there really quickly. But the road trip is boring when you travel alone. And there's so many times where, you know, it's almost like, this is the road trip that doesn't, you know? You're just driving and driving and driving. But when you travel with people around you, the gamers and the navigators and the crazies in the back, it's a lot of fun. And somehow, some way, you end up getting encouraged along the way. And so that's what I want to encourage you to do. Don't travel on this road trip with God alone. In fact, Moses, he didn't go on the road trip alone with God. He took all of his brothers and sisters, all the Israelites with him, thousands of people, and they traveled with him. And there were times when it was a huge blessing. There were times when he felt like he looked at the people around him like, God, seriously, like these are the people that I'm meeting. You know, these are crazy people. There were times when he thought, man, these are a bunch of knuckleheads. They got doubts and fears, and so did Moses. But all in all, he was traveling with people who were on the same path. They were all trying to follow God together. So that's what I want to encourage you to do. In fact, here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. It says this. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is what it says in the New Testament, but we look at the model of Moses and we realize we don't want to take the journey with God alone. I want to encourage you to get connected with people who can spur you along in your faith and in your life. So you've got 3 blanks on there. This is kind of the my people section. You can think about who are the people that God, you want me to surround myself with. And I know the first one for me, and maybe for some of you, is my refresh group. Like, it could be people or group, like my refresh group. This is who I'm going to surround myself with. It may be somebody that, like, you haven't reached out to grab some coffee, to mentor you in some kind of way. Like, I've always wanted to just talk with you and hear about your faith. Maybe that would be somebody you do. Maybe on the other hand, there's somebody that's younger than you that maybe God would tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, I want you to reach out to them, and I want you to invest in their life. I don't know who that is, but fill out three people that you're going to go on a road trip with. And number four, finally, on our checklist for the summer is this. Celebrate every step of the way. Celebrate every step of the way. We want to celebrate every single benchmark. And that's one of our core values. We will constantly celebrate what God is doing. It's one of the things we do here a lot. But the thing is, Moses and the Israelites, they were really, really good at celebrating what God did in the past. I mean, they would look at what God had done in the past, and they had festivals for everything. They had, like, the Passover festival, where they would celebrate how God delivered them. They had the festival of unleavened bread, where they would celebrate how God had provided manna for them in the wilderness. They had festivals for everything. And say, God, you were so faithful back then. As they turned into their present and into their future, so many times they forgot to celebrate along the way. They were always looking ahead to their future destination, and they started complaining and got discouraged. And I don't think that's what God wants us to do this summer. I think God wants us to always figure out a way to celebrate. Because if you only celebrate and worship God when you get to the end of your journey, when you get to your destination, you'll often miss what God was doing in you and through you along the journey. So let's celebrate every step of the way. So as we enter into the summer, I want to encourage you to take a checklist with you. Fill it in this week. Pray over that. What would God lead you? What would God do in your life? And the truth is, we just want to be intentional. As we kind of put a flag in our lives and say, this is what we want, that we feel like God, you're calling us to take this summer. We want to be intentional because God has promises for our lives. And the truth is, our hope and our journey isn't anchored in having a great plan for us. It's anchored in His promises. And so, the truth is, God is so faithful, and He promises to be with you and to be with me along our summer retreat. So let's walk with Him. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this amazing story of how you led your people from slavery and into the promised land. But God, we thank you most of all for the journey that they had to take, all the roundabout way that they took in order to get there. We thank you, God, for the way that you want to lead us in so many ways from where we are to where you want us to be. God, I pray that as we pray over this checklist, as we work on this week, that you would encourage us for the ways you want us to grow, for the places you want us to go, for the people you want us to reach, for the ways you want to use us. We just pray, God, that you would reveal that to us. God, help us to have put together a plan so that we can actually get there. Maybe it's surrounding ourselves with people or getting in the Word a little bit more. Whatever it is, help us to create a plan. God, we also pray that we'd be able to celebrate who you are all along the way. And God, in the end, we thank you that you are so faithful. Because, God, everything that we stand on in our lives and in our faith isn't based on our plan. It's based on your promises. And so, God, we thank you for that. You are faithful. We ask this in your name. Amen.